Since March 2009, the Pharmacy Podcast has been developing content monthly, weekly, and daily for the business of pharmacy. With more than 25 different podcast channels, more than 1 million downloads, and 30-plus participating pharmacists, the Pharmacy Podcast Network is the global leader in podcasting for the pharmacy professional. Find all of our podcast channels by going to pharmacypodcast.com/shows.
You are listening to the NASP Podcast. The Specialty Pharmacy Podcast is a collaboration with the National Association of Specialty Pharmacy, the NASP, and the Pharmacy Podcast Network. The mission of the National Association of Specialty Pharmacy is to improve specialty pharmacy practice by promoting continuing professional education and certification of specialty pharmacists while advocating for public policies that ensure patient access to specialty medications. As the healthcare industry's leading podcast dedicated to the pharmacy profession, the Pharmacy Podcast Network is proud to bring our listeners the NASP Podcast in partnership with the National Association of Specialty Pharmacy.
All right, so welcome, Pharmacy Podcast listeners. This is Nathan Purcell, your host today, and I'm broadcasting from the beautiful city of Washington, D.C., the nation's capital, and we're here at the annual NASP, the National Association of Specialty Pharmacy Conference. I'm sitting across from the founder of Fountain Rx, Joseph Huntsman. Joseph, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to be here.
Yeah, so we appreciate your time joining us here. Tell us a little bit about Fountain Rx and your guys' history.
So Fountain Rx, we founded in 2012 in East Tennessee, and we started really working with an orthopedic group, serving their patients, and then we quickly grew from that, and we wanted to be innovative in how we could serve patients. We started down compounding, became accredited, and then attended Asymbia 4 years ago for the first time and caught the vision for how we could take care of patients in the specialty space, and started down that road. Today we are quadruple accredited. We're licensed throughout the country, but we are really focusing throughout the Southeast, Tennessee, Kentucky, and Southeast Virginia. And it's a great honor to serve patients in the specialty space.
Yeah, Joseph, that's great. That's an amazing story. A couple of things. It sounds like you guys have had a successful transition from compounding into the specialty market. What would you share with other listeners here that are interested in doing the same thing?
Well, the truth is they are very different. There's not a whole lot from the compounding side that I would say transfers over, other than the fact of being extremely focused on compliance, on extremely high standard of operation in every aspect of the business. You know, in compounding, it's all about, the compounding lab, and there's a lot that goes into that. In specialty, it's very different. It's more around the process of how the patient is taken care of. It's the relationships with the prescribers, with payers, with manufacturers, and making sure that you're considering all of the stakeholders that you're working with, and that we aim to be a strong partner for all the stakeholder groups, with obviously the first one is the patient.
That's great. Yeah, so some of the things I've heard just listening to others here on the show floor is that there's really this kind of inherent goal to create a culture of patient care, right? Of really centric to patient care. And I know that when you and I were speaking here before the microphone was running, that you really wanted to drive that home, right? And for the sake without being too repetitive in nature here, what exactly is it that you guys are using the National Association of Specialty Pharmacy for? What role does it serve in your organization, and what draw you to the show today?
Well, this is our third year coming to NASP, and we just love the show. Asymbia is a bit of a madhouse, and it's also a very exciting show and lots of connections and relationships, but NASP is it's a little quieter, and you can have deeper conversations. We absolutely love what NASP does. They are fighting the fight every day for specialty pharmacies and to protect our ability to serve patients with excellence, which is what we want to do. I love the conference itself just because of all of the incredible relationships that come out of this. There's a wonderful spirit of collaboration. There are a lot of independent specialty pharmacies here, but there's a real openness to just sharing ideas on what's working. every time I come to one of these shows, I want to make sure that I find what I'll call the golden nugget or the great idea. And we've already got two or three, even at this show, that come out of conversations in terms of, you know, a new opportunity or a new way of doing something or a new technology. So it's just a great show.
So, Joseph, what would you share with the folks that are listening that weren't able to make it today but are considering coming next year? I know you mentioned a lot of great things about the environment, the intimacy, sort of the spirit of collaboration that exists.
Well, there are a lot of challenges in the market today, from, DIRs being at the top, and lots of other challenges. And I believe that we succeed by working together and by sharing ideas. When you come here, you can accomplish so much in two or three days that it would take weeks or even months to accomplish outside of coming to a show like this. So I just would say, if you are serving patients in specialty pharmacy, it really doesn't make sense to not make time to be here and be part of NASP. It's that good.
Joseph, thank you so much for your time today. Thank you for coming and being part of the National Association of Specialty Pharmacies annual conference. We look forward to seeing you next year.
Thank you so much.
And I'd like to welcome to the show Corey Kidd, the CEO of Catalia.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. Thanks for coming on the show.
Definitely.
So, I've seen you up on stage a couple times today. Tell me about what information and thought leadership you're bringing here to the NASP.
Well, today was a lot of fun. I had the chance to speak twice, as you said, once giving an overview of AI in pharma and pharmacy, which is a place where there's a lot going on right now. We're starting to see some real-world impacts. It was really a talk on places where, you know, we can start to see this into practice and, you know, what kinds of things are happening across the technology space in pharmacy. And the second one was being able to give a very specific hands-on example of the things that we're building at Catalia Health and our partnership with one specialty pharmacy, Sendera, and Pfizer as a manufacturer, and rolling out care management programs to patients.
That's great. So would it be safe to say this is a population health management initiative that you're taking on? And to further that, looking at kind of the specialty pharmacy space, you know, one of the core things that NASP really focuses on with their membership is really operationalizing it, right? And creating change, creating innovation. You know, where do you fall on that spectrum, and what role are you guys playing in that innovation?
So, I mean, I think in terms of that way of phrasing it, we're right in the middle. My whole career, you know, I've spent 20 plus years building technology to solve some of the big challenges of healthcare, with a real focus on how do we do something that's effective and scalable. And if we look at one of the big challenges in specialty these days, it's about scalability. Right? We're not talking about a tiny market right now, and it's growing year after year. And one of our big challenges is how we provide better care to every patient on a specialty drug. And that's one of the things that we're really focused on helping to do.
That's amazing. So let's talk a little bit about not the elephant in the room, but you mentioned tiny. our listeners can't see, obviously, because they're not sitting here and we're not broadcasting this from a video, but you've got this amazing piece of technology here that looks like a robot with a full digital display sitting on the table. Talk to me about this product. What does this serve in the marketplace?
So let me describe it briefly, since people are listening. So there is literally a cute little yellow robot sitting next to us on the table. It's about 16 inches tall. Her name is Mabu, and when she's turned on, she will have a conversation about what's going on with me related to a condition and a treatment that I might be managing on an ongoing basis. So if your listeners do want to get a view as to what this looks like, then go to our website, so Catalia Health, Catalia Health.com, and there's a short video on the homepage there that shows what this is. But again, it's literally a robot that's having a conversation with a patient. And this is not telehealth. There's not a person on the other end. It's using artificial intelligence algorithms to generate a conversation on the fly for each person at that point in time. And the goal here is not to replace the pharmacist or the doctor or the nurse. It's to fill in those gaps. It's available 24/7 whenever the patient wants to talk. And whenever we learn that there are challenges that that patient is facing, maybe who's going to have a conversation right then about whatever that issue is, but simultaneously send that information back to the pharmacist so that they can do follow-up if and when necessary with their patients.
That's great. It's really an enhanced model for chronic care management.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So common questions. You've been up on stage twice here. You've been kind of roaming the floor here at NASP. You know, what are some of the questions that people are coming up to you and asking after seeing you up on stage?
I think there's a small number of very common ones. First is sort of the, is this real?
Right.
You know, for a long time, there's been a lot of promise about, you know, let's say technology and healthcare generally. More recently, a lot of promise about AI. And a lot of us have thought about it as, it's coming, it's soon, right? But it's not quite here. The reality is now is it is here. This is a program that's rolled out to, you know, different patient populations, and it's working really well. I think another question is about implementation, right? How do we do this?
Right.
You know, how do you work with a company like ours or others in this space? And, you know, we're happy to have those conversations one-on-one with anyone. And I think the third common question, we heard this morning, is this going to take my job one? And I think it's really important to understand where this fits in, which is it's not about, you know, replacing anybody doing this job. It's about being able to extend that reach. You know, every one of us who sees patients and treats patients would love to interact with our patients much more frequently than we're capable of doing now. This is a way to do that, right? And to get the information back and to know how that entire population is doing, so you can reach out to a patient, not, you know, on the 26th of the month because that's when we call for her refill, but, oh, this patient's having a problem, I'm going to reach out and make a call right now. And so it's a way to better scale care across the population.
That makes sense. So really, using technology to really integrate your pharmacy, and I know we're sitting here amongst specialty pharmacies.
Yes.
Right. But your pharmacy into the community that you serve.
Exactly.
Right? Creating a closer patient engagement opportunity that, you know, I won't say automated, but it's truly AI.
Right.
And for the, I guess for the techies that are also listening, because we'll probably get questions on this after we publish the show. Let's clear the air about, is this machine learning? Is it blockchain? I mean, there are lots of buzz terms I think people hear when they listen to the news and whatnot, but I guess talk to us about the application. What does this look like inside the home?
Sure. So, you know, Meibu is having a conversation with the person each day. So what's happening here is through these conversations in the background, we're building up multiple models of a patient. So we understand to start a little bit about the medical model. In other words, we know what disease and what treatment, so what drug or drugs this patient is on, and that's it. Now, through those conversations, we're learning about what's going on, what challenges that patient might be facing, what they're doing, what they're not doing, any data related to that. The second model is our psychological model. And so there we start off knowing nothing. You know, just like when you meet a new person, over those first few conversations or weeks or months, you're going to learn more and more about them. And your conversation is automatically going to, you know, adapt to what you know about this individual. Meibu is doing the same kind of thing. And the third model is what we call our biographic model. And the quick way to think about that is it's sort of our catch-all for everything else that we learn. And it's very different from talking to something like Siri or Alexa. In those, it's very transactional. You know, you can ask a question and get a response. You can tell it to do something, and maybe it will, if you're lucky. Whereas with Meibu, we could say, oh, you know, last week when we talked about, or, you know, a couple days ago, you said you weren't feeling well. I wanted to follow up on that. And so it's really about, you know, building up that relationship with the patient over time. And that comes back to the whole reason that we use this interface that I was talking about, the actual robot. When you have that face-to-face interaction, even though this is not a person, you get the psychological benefits of having a face-to-face interaction with a person, which means you're creating a stronger relationship that's going to last longer. And those are the things that, you know, we've figured out over time work really well with this, and this is what makes this, you know, a truly scalable solution over time and over larger numbers of patients.
That's great. So please correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like this is a perfect solution for implementing protocols from the manufacturer level, you know, helping that pharmacy deliver better patient care, manage that chronic care, and ultimately meet those quality measures and the adherence components that are currently being pressed upon the industry. And I know it's an underlying mission of the NASP to advance the practice of specialty pharmacies. And this sounds like a perfect fit. As you mentioned, you're kind of right in the middle, right?
Right.
as an instrument or a conduit to all of those key yes. stakeholders.
Yeah, and I think that's a good way to put it, right? When we're building out an application around a new disease state, a new treatment for a patient population, we start with those guidelines and best practices. Right. And we're able to implement those in such a way that we make sure that those can be followed for every patient. And yeah, there's a challenge for everyone. We're talking about chronic conditions, right? Over
right.
time,
exactly.
something's going to go wrong for everybody.
It's inevitable.
Exactly, right? But we understand when those happen and how to get that patient back on track. And some of that we can do in an automated way with these AI conversations that Mabu was having. But again, every time we figure out that there's an issue, that information goes back to the pharmacist. And so a pharmacist or a nurse can make a follow-up call to that patient to help get them back on track.
That's great. So you're bringing something innovative, right? That is really bringing all aspects of the specialty pharmacy industry, the providers, the prescribers,
right.
the big pharma together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how has it been received here at NASP? And ultimately, you know, what's your view of NASP's role in helping move this initiative forward?
So, you know, I think we're at a very exciting point in time and that the reception of this is very positive. As I mentioned, I've been working on this kind of thing for a couple decades.
Right.
It takes a long time to go from research. You know, I left academia a dozen years ago after finishing my PhD, working on the exact same thing, to now where we are, we're starting to roll this out with patient populations in a commercial setting. And, you know, NASP, I think, plays an important role in that a lot of what we're doing is in specialty pharmacy. This is one of the places to come to each year to understand what's going on in terms of trends and capabilities across the industry. And then the work that NASP is doing throughout the year to continue disseminating that information, I think, is very important for us, you know, building systems like this, as well as for the rest of the members who are using these with patients.
That's great. You know, I appreciate you giving us a little sneak peek here. I know for those of the listeners who could not attend this year, this is an amazing robot looking at me, just begging to have a conversation. Again, I guess mention one more time your website so that folks can go actually see this, because I think it, you know, that video will obviously give folks a much clearer understanding of the experience I'm having now. And ultimately, I guess, leave us with a little bit of a send-off here. I mean, for those people who are listening, who wouldn't make the show, but maybe are thinking of getting into specialty pharmacy or looking to attend next year, what are your words of wisdom?
Sure. So the first part, our website is our company name, cataliahealth.com, and that's CATALIA. And, you know, for NASP, again, I think it's a great place to bring together the entire industry. It's very patient-focused. It's very focused on what's going on right now. And again, that's what makes this point in time very exciting for me. You know, having spent so many years building things like this for patients, it's a great time to see this rolling out with larger and larger numbers of people who can use it.
Awesome. Well, Corey, thank you for sharing your excitement with me. Thank you for sharing with our listeners here at the Pharmacy Podcast Network. And I look forward to speaking with you again.
Thanks. I appreciate it. And it was great to have this conversation.
That's cool. This is Nathan Purcell broadcasting today from the floor of the National Association of Specialty Pharmacy here in beautiful Washington, D.C. And this year at NASP, we did something special. The National Association of Specialty Pharmacies is pleased to announce a scholarship program created in memory of a friend, colleague, and industry leader, Ron Bookman. And the scholarship qualities really embody the memory and contributions this great industry leader and influencer had on the specialty pharmacy industry. And I'm pleased to be sitting with one of the scholarship's recipients this year, Adam Hussein. Adam, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. So tell us a little bit about your background, your history, and I understand you're currently going to Howard University. Is that correct?
That's right. I'm actually a fourth year at the College of Pharmacy at Howard University in Washington, D.C.
So what drew you to the pharmacy industry?
That's always an interesting question when someone asks me that. My father is actually a pharmacist, as well as his brothers. So I come from essentially a family of pharmacy. And like any teenager, I refused to do what my father did. So I didn't want to do pharmacy initially. But as I grew older, I got a job in one. And I grew to like it a lot more. And I ended up growing to be passionate about it. And Howard is actually my father's alma mater. So I ended up applying. And I currently attend Howard University. And I'm not sure what I want to do when I graduate. I'm going to take a different path, or my plan to take a different path, a non-traditional pharmacy path. I'm currently looking at working in regulatory affairs.
Great. So I understand that in order to be considered for this award or scholarship, you had to submit an essay that really demonstrated a few of the key aspects that Ron Bookman possessed, things like humility, gratitude, leadership, etc. Talk to me a little bit about how you communicated that through that essay and ultimately what resonated here with the folks at NASP.
Well, you know, it was quite interesting because the application actually required a nomination from a member of NASP. And at the moment, at that time, NASP was in its infancy at our school, the student chapter.
Sure.
My student chapter president actually had set up an interview with a member of NASP, Royce Burris, and he actually interviewed me over the phone while I was on rotation in South Korea. So after interviewing with me, he decided to write me a nomination letter, and I also had to write the essay with an additional letter of recommendation. What I really wanted to highlight in the letter was my dedication to not only the profession, but for working for the betterment of our profession, as well as helping other people achieve what they want to achieve. And it was difficult for me at that moment because I had a scholarship coming into Howard University College of Pharmacy, but due to budget cuts, we ended up losing our scholarships last year. So I was really stressed about what I was going to do about school. I was working every weekend when I wasn't in class, and our third year was really quite grueling. So I was looking for scholarship opportunities, and my president presented me with the NASP one, and I wasn't sure I had a shot. It was a national award. Only one pharmacy student initially was supposed to get it, but I thought, why not? So I applied, I rewrote my essay like four times, and I think it really spoke personally. I was surprised that I won. What I think they really focused on was my ability to manage myself and also take things in stride. So even though something difficult happened, I was able to find a way to deal with it or go around it, use it to better myself. So I've had a lot of experience in pharmacy, and I think that also resonated with them. I've worked in many different settings over the past 8 years, and right now I'm not sure what I want to do when I graduate, but I do know that this scholarship will help me achieve that, especially going to my last year. We spend our fourth year on rotations, so that's really quite a grueling experience in itself.
Right. Yeah, no, I appreciate that. And like I said, the industry itself has a lot of challenges, and it's going to be the young leaders in the market that really take up the mantle and ultimately find the solutions and the path forward for the future of pharmacy. So as I'm sure you've heard a couple of times here since being honored with the award, you know, let me congratulate you on behalf of the Pharmacy Podcast Network as well as the National Association of Specialty Pharmacy Podcast.
Thank you.
Yeah, so what does this scholarship mean to you now that you've been the recipient? I know you've got plans for the future here. What's the next steps for you?
So the scholarship will help me pay for the ASHP mid-year conference. That's where pharmacy students go during their fourth year who are interested in applying for positions in pharma or with residency or both.
Right.
So that's the first thing on my list. After that, it's more about just seeing what's available and what I might like, focusing on rotations. What just came up between the scholarship award being given to me and now is that I have a new rotation actually in California that I'm really excited about, and I didn't have the money to pay for it, but the scholarship will definitely help with that.
That's amazing. It's fantastic. Well, we wish you well on your journey. Again, congratulations on being the recipient of the Ron Bookman Memorial Scholarship, and good luck to you.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to the NASP podcast. Be sure to share this podcast with your fellow pharmacists, doctors, and healthcare providers dedicated to optimal patient care. If you have ideas for future episode topics, please email the Pharmacy Podcast Network. Send your message to publisher@pharmacypodcast.com.